Time for our weekly check-in with Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Hello there, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, Rich? How you doing today, man?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. How about yourself?
Good, good. I was just telling Carrie, I'm just chilling. Wife and kids are out of the house. Got the whole house to myself. Trying to enjoy some nice peace and quiet. So it's a great time right now.
Oh, man. I'm a little envious, no question about that. Good for you. We got basketball coming back. That's exciting news. What do you think of the NBA's format for this return?
I actually like it. You know, you got 8 games to get the teams ramped up, ready for the postseason. You're quarantining everybody in that sort of bubble down there in Orlando. So I think it works. You know, the one issue that somebody raised to me, and I guess it's true, if you're one of those teams that pretty much has clinched the playoff spot, what do you do then? You know, you go all out those final 8 games and play hard, or do you try to rest your guys and make sure they're nice and ready for the postseason? And so, but I'm all for it. Whatever the NBA decided, you know, I'm just happy that basketball is coming back.
Yeah, it was great to see that video the Celtics released of Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum out.
Yeah, guys back in the Auerbach Center, you know, obviously still socially distancing and everything, but, you know, every little bit helps. You know, it reminds us that we're getting closer and closer to that July 31st start date. And, it was good to see the guys getting back in the office there and getting in some work. And, you know, it, when it comes to the playoffs, it might be the team that's most physically fit, you know, the team that's, you know, ready to go right off the jump. Because I do think it's going to take some time for guys to get back into game shape, and not only, you know, physically, but mentally, that competitive edge. And so that'll be something to watch here once they start back up.
That's why I think it's a good idea to play some of these regular season games beyond determining the playoff seeds, but to allow guys to ramp up into that playoff intensity.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, if you're a coach and you want your guys hitting on all cylinders come playoff time, to do that, I feel like you have to play your guys during those 8 regular season games. You really can't take off, you know, and play Kemba only 10, 15 minutes and treat it like an exhibition. I think, you know, if I'm a coach, how I play it is as we get closer to the playoffs and, you know, we move from game 1 to game 2 and on to 7 and 8, you'll ramp it up even more. And so you've seen it in the past too, Rich. The team that does the best in the postseason usually get hot at the right time. And you got to ramp up to do that. So, I agree with you.
What do you think would be the best opening round matchup for the Celtics?
In terms of fan interest and, you know, excitement, or in terms of actually getting through and moving on? Those are two very different things, Rich.
Let's go with B, getting through it as quickly and efficiently as possible.
I would say, you know, there's a possibility that they can jump up to number 2. And if that happens, then you play like a Brooklyn Nets team without Kevin Durant and without Kyrie Irving. Anything after that, I feel, is really a crapshoot, a jump ball. You know, if you get that 3 seed, maybe you take on the Sixers. Ben Simmons is healthy. Embiid, you know, supposedly has been working hard. That's a tough matchup. Indiana, I mentioned before, you know, if Victor Oladipo is healthy, this layoff has given him 3 more months to really get his legs under him and get back. So those are all tough matchups. If I'm the Celtics, I try to get that number 2 seed. I think they're 3.5 games behind Toronto, so it's going to be tough. If you can't, I still take Indiana in that first round, just because I think Philly is built for the playoffs, and I'd be worried about them.
We're talking with Kyle Draper here on Downtown. The plan is still to have the TV crews do the broadcast remotely?
Yeah, that is the plan, and how I see it happening is the NBA will provide a feed to the local broadcast, sort of like the Olympics. You know, some of the Olympic games, you know, the broadcasters aren't overseas. You know, they'll call them from Stamford, Connecticut, and I think that's what we'll do. We'll call them from our home base. We'll get a feed from the NBA, and you'll hear Mike and Tommy and Scal and me and Abby and everybody, you know, sort of broadcasting over top of that feed.
And I know Mike Gorman has done that before with some Olympic coverage, but do you lose out a little bit by not having the opportunity to talk with coach and players there on the scene, get a feel for the crowd and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so. You lose some of that atmosphere, and there's been some talk that the league might pump in some sound, or, you know, maybe a 2K audience sound, you know, through the telecast. I don't know if we'll see that or not, but no, you're right, you know, because you don't get to, I think one of the best things about, you know, being a journalist and covering these teams is when you're out on the road, you know, you get to see a different side of them. They get to see you at some of the restaurants, walking around the city, that kind of thing. And that gives you a little more, you know, a chance to talk to them and bond with them away from, you know, the normal setting. So you won't have that this time. You know, there'll be a lot of Zoom meetings and Zoom press conferences and teleconferences and things like that. So, you know, it will take some adjustment, but, you know, this is what we have to do to get basketball back.
Is Major League Baseball going to find a way to screw this up completely? My gosh, this has been a comedy of errors for them.
Yeah, it has, and I'm truly worried about baseball. You know, no matter what plan is being offered up, it seems like neither side is really willing to budge that much. You know, we hear all these different plans from the owners and the player side and everything, but nobody really is moving closer to the other side. You know, the players are offering, you know, we'll play this many games, 114 games or 89 games. But I think what the owners are really interested in is not only prorated salaries, but reduced salaries also. Whereas the players, they're okay with prorated salaries, but they're not okay with reduced salaries. So, you know, the question is, Rich, when's the drop dead date? You know, how much longer can this go on? I mean, you got to imagine it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks or, you know, maybe that, for guys to be back up to speed, ready to go. So we're already talking mid-July to late July, maybe, for baseball to come back. And, you know, are we talking a 50 or 60-game season? I mean, you know, there will come a point where it's just going to be, you know what, is it really worth it?
Well, and if the commissioner steps in and forces them to play a short season for the good of the game, I have to think that really jeopardizes the ability of the two sides to find any common ground on a collective bargaining agreement next year.
Yeah, exactly. And we know that the baseball union is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, union out there. And, you know, I don't think they're budging. You know, not only do they think they're being fair, obviously, with the prorated contract, but the shortened games as well. And so I think from a player's perspective, they're saying, why do we have to take the brunt of the losses here? You know, you guys are billionaires. You guys have all this money. Why are we the ones that have to take the brunt of it then? And I know it's hard for some people to think, you know, millionaires, baseball players are sort of like, you know, regular workers. But in this case, I think that's how the players are feeling. They're feeling, you know, you have these billionaires. They have this money. Why do we have to take the brunt of the losses?
There's been some talk about it. Do you see any scenario where Colin Kaepernick becomes a member of the New England Patriots?
You know what? I actually think it would be a good fit from a football standpoint. When you look at the Patriots roster, they don't have enough playmakers, in my opinion. And so, to me, you need a quarterback that can not only beat you with his arm, but beat you with his leg also. I will say I don't want him in New England if it's just a PR stunt for Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. You know, if it's just, you know, if you're not going to give him a chance. But, you know, we have this report that came out earlier today that Kaepernick is, you know, working hard to get back in the league and, you know, he's willing to get back in at all costs and all this. And so, to me, there's no excuse not to bring this guy in for a workout with some team. You know, let's see what he has left. I don't know how much he has left, but I think he sort of earned that right to, you know, get at least be extended a camp invite. But, you know, as far as New England, if you bring him in, is Jared Stidham looking over his shoulder all the time? Is he concerned about Kaepernick? Mm. Is he worried about his job? Right now, you know, Brian Hoyer, nice veteran quarterback, but I don't think anybody is excited about a Brian Hoyer era. If Kaepernick comes and Stidham gets off to a bad start first two games, there will be some people calling for a change.
No question about that. Well, never dull once we get things going again. Kyle, good to talk with you as always. Enjoy your week. We'll enjoy that peace and quiet, too, and we'll check in next Wednesday.
All right. Thanks so much, Rich.
Kyle Draper, NBC Sports Boston, with us on Downtown.